Welcome to the Management Minute with Dr. Donita Brown, where we sit down with business leaders to gain valuable insights and advice on how to navigate the world of management. Whether you're a seasoned manager or just starting out, this podcast is for you. I'm Donita Brown, a professor in the College of Business at Lipscomb University. I'm also an author, speaker, and habit coach. For almost 20 years, I worked in corporate America and managed teams of 2 to 102. Welcome to this week's episode. Today's guest is Dave Punkishar. Dave, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Donita. Glad to be here.
All right. Well, let's get started with your one sentence bio. I'm excited to hear what you have come up with in one sentence that describes you.
I'm married. I'm a Nashville native. I have five children from a blended family. It used to be six. We had one grow up and move off. So big family, and we have a lot of fun. We have a loud kitchen table. That's my favorite place to have the noise and the chaos. And I love to travel the world, and I love cultures and learning languages, and I love art and creativity.
Well, that was definitely not a one-sentence bio.
That was there was a lot of commas in there.
There were a lot of commas, yeah.
I didn't take the time to really craft that beforehand. Sorry about that.
You know, I think this show is probably the king of run-on sentences.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah. Are you ready to get started with question number one?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. How do your values impact your management philosophy?
They're going to permeate every element. And my personal values have informed my company's values. At Goodwood Nashville, our values spell the word chirpo, like a bird chirping. The C stands for craftsmanship, and that means attention to detail. Like, we care about the quality. The H means have fun. So that's a core value of ours. We want to have fun. We want to laugh. The I is for integrity. I know that's probably a core value of every company, but you got to do what's right and when nobody's looking. The R is respect. We want to respect our colleagues, respect everyone who works with us, and respect everyone who walks through our door, our customers, people, even homeless people, if they come in asking for help. We want to treat everyone with respect. The P is pride. We take a lot of pride in our work, and we're proud of what we do, and I'm proud of what comes out of the doors of Goodwood Nashville. And the O is definitely come from my DNA. The O stands for over-communicate. And we work with a lot of contractors. We're in the construction-related industry. We build custom pieces. And so in the contracting world, a lot of people don't talk. They don't communicate. They don't show up. And, you know, you hear horror stories. So from day one, that's always been one of my core values. And so I ask my staff to do the same. And we tell our customers, that's one of our core values. We're going to try to over-communicate with you. And so we try to do that within our own team as well.
You have a new employee that comes in. How do they know these are your core values?
I'm going to share it I hope to share it in the final interview. By the time they get to me, they should be hired. Maybe not shake their hand hired, but basically have the job. And what I like to do is I like to sit down and tell them about the culture of Goodwood Nashville. And that's where I share about the values. And I also like to tell them how we got through COVID as a team with the grit of the team and what we did and what everybody did to get through it and survive. And so that's where they should hear those. And then we talk about those core values every time we do traction from the Wickman book. And so we meet as a company every quarter where we review our goals, our successes, what did we accomplish. And during that time, we always review the core values as a team as well.
Oh, that's great. And how did you come up with the core values?
You know, the craftsmanship was easy. We're a custom woodworking shop. So I think the core values, just, we spent about a day or two, about 3 or 4 or 5 years ago with my business coach, Dick Gigi from the Legacy Center. And we just had a great time talking about what's important to Goodwood. Over-communicate always kind of kept coming up. And of course, the craftsmanship. One of my first employees was a guy I grew up with, Josh McCallum. So literally, we grew up literally in the same house at one point. Our parents were best friends. They were all hippies. You know, they all were in the 70s together. So, like, he always has a good time. He always has fun. And if anything, I could loosen up a little bit more, you know, to be honest with you. Because, you know, sometimes as CEO, you're just like the driver and you're worried about making payroll or whatever, you know. So to have fun is just a core value. Like, we want to break Friday afternoon and have happy hour. We used to have a keg in the shop. We still do, but Yazoo used to give us free beer because we build their tap handles. And so that was always just fun for our customers to come in. Like, wait, we can have a free pint of beer, like, while we browse your store and lumber store. And, you know, so the integrity is a no-brainer. Sometimes I'll tell new employees a story of when someone didn't have integrity. And I'll use it, and I won't name names.
Sure.
But I'll say, like, the guy, you know, rubbed our Mercedes Sprinter van against a telephone pole and decided the best course of action was not to tell anyone.
Oh.
So that would be a lack of integrity,
right?
And that guy, I didn't fire him for it. He ended up quitting. But, you know, the wheels were coming off the bus because then that just shows you something's going on.
Right.
Respect, I think that just came because we We've worked really hard in East Nashville, and at first I think it came out of the idea. We've really tried to be a real presence in our community. During COVID, we did a Nashville Strong campaign where we made signs and donated half of, not just the profits, half of the money to individuals, to organizations, to coffee shops, to businesses, to self-employed people. And we sold about $60,000 of Nashville Strong signs.
Wow.
And donated half the money away.
And that was from the tornado before COVID hit, right?
It was the Nashville Strong campaign. The slogan was from the tornado.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
And my buddy had made the art from a group called Statement. They're an art agency here, a branding agency. He donated the art, but because of COVID, we were like, let's make these signs and give away, because a lot of our customers are like restaurants, like Edley's restaurant, the owner of Lachlan Table. They're good customers of ours. And I remember calling the owner of Edley's. I was like, how you doing? And Will Newman just said, I'm not doing well. I got to lay off 85% of my staff tomorrow. And my heart just broke because this guy like helped us kind of get into business.
Right.
And so I was like, well, what can we do to help Edley's? Mm. So we came up with that. And so the respect core value kind of came out of it, because I felt like by loving our neighbors and by trying to help others, we had gained and earned a lot. We had earned a lot of respect in the community. And we were very proud of that. And, you know, when I hire salespeople or anybody who's out in the field, they represent Goodwood. And so the reason I say it's core values, I don't want them out in the field not being a good representation of Goodwood. You know, years ago, we were doing a church install and one of my guys got mad and started cussing like crazy and expletive this and expletive.
You don't want that anywhere, but especially in a church.
And I pulled him aside. I was like, hey, that doesn't go with who we are.
Right, right.
And also read the room. Come on, you're in a church. Like if you're outside on a construction site, go around the corner by the porta potty and, you know, vent to yourself. So that kind of idea of like treat each other with respect. The pride, we're so proud of what we put out, the craftsmanship. And so it just, I'm proud of what I do. I'm proud to take my kids to a restaurant at 210 Jack and say, yeah. And they're like, Dad, that's good wood. And they're like, oh yeah, that's good wood. And then if we'll be in a restaurant, they're like, Dad, this is bad wood, isn't it? You know, so we're just proud of like, we're proud of every project. We've worked with the zoo and the Ryman and, you know, restaurants and honky tonks and, you know,
All homeowners, right?
But it's just, we're just proud. I'm proud that like, I feel like we've been making Nashville beautiful for 11 years, very silently, you know, and I'm proud of that. And reclaiming and repurposing, saving wood from the landfill, from getting burned down. And then the over-communicate is just, it's one of those things where mistakes cost you money in business, right? Mm-hmm. And then also, I'm a people pleaser, Danita. I don't like letting people down. And so I just find that like, if there's a problem, I'll just bring it up first. Hey, Danita, I got a problem with your table. Like the wood's moving. It's not going to be ready when I told you, but I wanted you to hear from me, and this is why, and this is what I'm doing to fix it. Like, if I have to say there's something wrong, I want it to come from me first and over-communicate and tell you what I'm doing to fix it. So it's just a matter of, like, I don't like letting people down.
Yeah.
So I tell people, I've never held up a job. I've never told you I'd be there September 1 and show up in December. I don't do that. But don't give me a fake deadline. A lot of builders will say, show up September 1, but they don't want you till October 1.
Right.
You know, because they're like, oh, wait, you showed up. Like, right. We actually show up.
Sure.
You know, so those are how the core values have kind of come from my personality into the day-to-day, you know, how those have come out.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. You ready for question number 2?
Yes, ma'am.
Who or what has had the most impact on your management style?
I thought long and hard about this, and believe it or not, I think it was when I was 22 years old. I was selling books door to door, and I learned a lot from that. There's going to be one specific episode that happened during that time, but I do think selling books door to door taught me more about management and work and sales and running a business than anything. I worked for the Southwestern Company, like a lot of people here in Nashville have, and we literally just went door to door. 100 hours a week, 80 to 100 hours a week, you know, just worked my tail off. But something happened during my first summer. Turns out I'm good at sales. I didn't know that. And I don't mind hard work. So that was no surprise. I worked really hard and I was in the running for the number one, like rookie salesman for the country, you know, and I was really competitive. I am really competitive. So I was really excited. And then in the last week of my summer, I was in the number one spot. I was delivering some books, and it's scary what happened, but I was delivering books out in rural Pennsylvania, and a man pulled a gun on me and threatened my life. I begged for my life, and as he finally, I pleaded. It was my biggest sale of the summer, is pleading, convincing him not to shoot me. at point blank, closer than you and I are. And he pulled out a revolver. I mean, it was close enough for me to touch it and push it away. And then he finally said, get the blankety blank out of here. And I got in this car and pulled out. And as I pulled out, he opened fire on my car. I mean, he shot at my feet, like kind of like in a movie where you make somebody dance. I mean, it was awful. And what affected me so much is that I was making more money that summer than I ever made in my life. I mean, the previous summer I worked like five jobs, right? And I made maybe $3,000. Well, 1 week that summer I made $3,000 because I did really well at sales. And all of it was gone in a flash when I thought I was going to die.
Huh.
And so what changed me at that moment was the love of money doesn't control me. And so, because I realized, I'm like, what's the point? You know, I'm a man of faith. I believe in God. I, you know, I'm Christian. And, but like, so I do believe there's an afterlife, but I also think to myself, like, what's important? Like, we just don't know how long we're promised here. And so as I run my business and I'm a manager, I believe that the people are more important and like what's going on in their lives is more important. We have to make money. If we're not profitable, we don't have a business.
Right. You can't pay your people.
If we're not making money and people aren't doing their jobs, I'm going to have to get involved. And like I did this morning on a call and I said, we have a problem. Like we're not hitting our goals. So what are we going to do differently? But the love of money was broken for me. And I enjoy it. Who doesn't like it? But I don't like there was a healthy break happened for me where I'm just not controlled by it. It's not the end all be all. And I feel like I've always worked hard. And I feel like, you know, I hope I can talk about my faith here, but God, I feel like God's always provided.
Yeah.
And I've always worked hard though too. I don't sit around and, but you know, so I think that moment, so what I learned selling books definitely affected my management style. I expect people to work hard, do what they say, blah, blah, blah. But that moment where I thought I was going to die, and who cares if you're number one or not, or who cares if you made X amount of money or not? It's
all for naught, right?
It's all for naught.
Yeah.
So that affected me deeply.
That's amazing. Before we get to the next question, let's pause for a quick message about Lipscomb University's College of Business. Are you looking to sharpen your management skills and take your career to the next level? If so, look no further than the MBA program at Lipscomb University. Our part-time program is designed to provide you with the knowledge and the tools you need to excel in today's fast-paced business environment. Lipscomb offers both in-person and online formats that make it a perfect fit for full-time working professionals. Apply now and elevate your management skills. Learn more and apply at lipscomb.edu/business. All right, question number three.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's do it. What book has made the biggest impact on you?
So I thought about this. I'm not a huge reader. I'm very slow to read. Of course, I love a good novel. I'm not a huge business book reader. So I thought about some books that you probably heard of. And I was like, yeah, I bet people have said that. But I thought of a book that actually, I think, changed my paradigm on life and travel and journey that I was forced to read as a high schooler.
Okay.
And it's a book called Walk Across America by Peter Jenkins. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. I do. Actually, only because Peter Jenkins, after he wrote that book, had an essay contest where you could send in an essay and get a dog. And my mom sent in an essay and we got a dog from Peter Jenkins.
Yes. So, get out of here.
Yeah. So I do know that, but for a really random reason.
Well, I think he lives around. He used to live in Middle Tennessee or something.
Yeah, he must. Yeah.
So that book just changed. Like, ever since I read that book, I just thought, oh my gosh, like the way this guy, I guess he was like, I don't know if you can call him an early Rick Steves, right?
Yeah.
But like enjoying the journey and meeting people along the way, that has affected, like that affects who I am. Like I appreciate the journey. I love like when we have new employees, like hearing their stories and meeting their families. Like I love that stuff more than anything. Creating, you know, outings where I can meet everybody. But like just that process of like the journey is really important. Probably between Peter's book and then getting shot at, just makes me really appreciate the journey and getting to know people along the way. Like I love when I work with my customers, like just getting to know them and hearing their stories and what's going on in their family and their home or their restaurant or their hotel they're building, just all these dreams. And you get to like be a part of what they're doing. So it just satisfies that itch for me of like the relational journey and then being a part of their journey of like what we're building with them for their dream.
That's great.
And it just, I don't know, that book has always inspired me.
Well, I appreciate you saying that book because that's not one that we've heard before.
I didn't think anyone would have ever said that.
That's a great one.
Thanks.
All right. So you ready for my favorite part of the podcast?
Yes.
Okay, so it's going to be 60 seconds, rapid-fire questions.
Okay.
Your job is to make me run out of questions.
Okay.
You get one pass.
Okay.
Don't overthink them.
Okay.
All right. What personality trait are you most proud of?
My laughter.
How can someone lose your trust?
They don't do what they say.
Would you rather someone be honest and hurt your feelings or lie and protect them?
Honest and hurt my feelings.
What do you think happens after death?
Heaven or hell.
What's your favorite color?
Blue.
What's your favorite meal?
Pasta.
Do you have a best friend?
Not really.
What are you most grateful for in your life?
Life and my kids and my wife.
Do you typically follow your heart or your head?
Oh, I'm a heart guy.
What gives you hope?
I just think life is good.
If you could be any superhero, which superhero would you
Superman,
be?
Superman, for sure.
What about any animal? If you could be any animal, what animal would you be?
Ooh, something that flies. Probably a bald eagle.
What's the weirdest text message you've ever gotten?
I keep getting these, hi, who is this? Who? I have you in my number, but I don't have your name. I'm like, God, they say, what's the play? I don't get it.
Oh, goodness. Oh, that's a great one to end on. All right. So your job now is to give advice to managers. What's the best advice you can give to a manager?
We have to be honest with our staff and with our people. You know, I feel like I had a young lady get hired and we didn't really do, we did a 90-day review, but really didn't do the 30 or 60. At 30 days, everything looked good. At 60 days, the wheels were starting to come off the bus. And at 90, I let her go. And she was like, but I had no warning. I had no inkling that this was going to happen. I think we owe it to people if their performance isn't good. If you're like, you know what, if this continues, I'll have to, this is not going to work. I think that we owe it to them to treat them with the dignity that says, as of right now, the trajectory you're on, you won't be here at your 90-day, at the end of your 90-day review. So you have a choice. Either we hired the wrong person, or you're not focused, or you don't have the ability to do this job. So you need to tell me what it is, because these excuses aren't working for me.
Yeah.
You don't tell me you didn't do something because you didn't have a credit card to put a $10 charge on. That doesn't work. So I think honesty, just being really upfront with people. If you're disappointed, you have to tell them. Although I will say that I've tried really hard. I think my perspective, I try not to be in the day-to-day all the time. So over the last year, I've tried really hard to make sure I'm there enough and celebrate the good. And also like pick my time of when to be that brutally honest. Like if you've got a review coming up, just save it for the review. That's when those things, you know, I think knowing when and how to broach those, obviously not in front of other people if you can avoid it, unless their manager needs to be there as well. So that would probably be what I would say.
Yeah, be honest. Well, Dave, thank you so much for being this week's guest.
Thank you, Danita.
All right.
Great to be here.
Thanks for listening to the Management Minute. We hope you enjoyed this week's interview. If you like this episode, please share it with a friend or colleague. If you have suggestions for a future guest, please send me their contact information to donita.brown@lipscomb.edu. You can also subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to connect with me on LinkedIn. Thank you.
This podcast is powered by the College of Business Content Creation Studio at Lipscomb University.